It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Welcome to the Be the People show. Today, we're going to be talking about the 2020 presidential election and what conservatives can do to ensure an outcome that's best for America. And for many of us, we have watched politics for many decades, and we are dismayed by a lot of what we see taking place in Washington, D.C. and across the country. I am a Republican, and so I'm very concerned about which party retains control of the Congress as well as the White House. Joining me today is a nationally known speaker, maybe internationally known speaker, singer, and activist who's a friend of the Be the People show. She's been on the show before, and she also is the founder of the Republican Congressional Wives Speakers in Washington, D.C., and she's working with the Women for Trump campaign. My guest is Nancy Schultz. So, Nancy, welcome to the Be the People show.
Well, thank you, Carol. And before we get started here, I just want to thank you sincerely and profusely for putting yourself out there in the mayor's race in Nashville. You are exactly the kind of candidate that I feel very strongly this country needs. You came awfully close. You did a beautiful job. And I just look forward to your political future, Carol.
I don't know if that's what God has for me, but I can tell you that I learned a lot about politics. As a professor, mm-hmm. I had taught it, you know, for 28 years, but there's nothing like actually getting into the fray where you actually mm-hmm. learn it on mm-hmm. the ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, having been married to two men who devoted their lives to the conservative cause, my first husband was the Secretary of State in Montana, was Republican front runner for governor when he died in a plane crash on a campaign trip. Almost 5 years later, I ended up marrying a 9-term congressman from the state of Pennsylvania. So I've been there. You, whenever a candidate throws his or her hat in the ring, you are putting yourself through an unknown minefield at any time, at any moment during the election. There can be attacks on your character, your name. You can, true or not, you can, your reputation is on the line. I always talk about it as a layer of life on top of life. It's a whole nother layer of experience, and it takes a very, very courageous person to go through what you just went through. And I'm just I'm just thrilled to know. I'll put it this way: neither one of my husbands would hire an employee that had a political science degree. There's a lot of book knowledge, but not a lot of boots on the ground experience, or unless they've been boots on the ground for a while. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. To actually experience the process is a completely different experience than studying the process.
Some of what I experienced was that there were Republicans who actually recruited and supported my Democratic opponent because they believed that no Republican could win in Davidson County, Nashville. And so they were very clear about it, but they actually worked to elect a liberal Democrat. And later we found out before the doing the runoff, and I didn't make the runoff. I came very close. We found out, you know, this person who was eventually elected mayor, you know, he did not take a strong stance against sanctuary cities. Like, he has kind of waffled on that issue, but he's not the kind of law and order candidate that I think would necessarily be best for Nashville or other cities and towns. So that was a disappointment. The other thing I learned is that a lot of the people who work on campaigns, they are committed to their paycheck, but not always necessarily to you.
To the candidate, exactly.
I got my greatest support from the volunteers.
Amen. Amen. I totally empathize with your perspective there. It campaign operatives come and go. Campaign operatives are in the business for the business, and they don't necessarily have the interests, the best interests of the candidate in mind. For instance, my first husband was a new believer. He believed very strongly that he did not want to campaign or work on Sundays. Convincing the staff doesn't care. They'll run you 24/7, 365 if they can, because their political career is advanced by every win they can put on their belt. But they just have a different perspective. So I totally, that's not all. And it's not fair to paint all operatives or all Republicans or all Democrats with a broad brush. It is not fair, and it's not helpful. So there are exceptions always to broad generalization.
But I was surprised because I came so close, and if I had the Republicans fully on board, you know, it would have been certainly easy to get in the runoff. And I believe I could have actually won, in the sense I expanded my support among independents, soft Democrats. I got far more Black support than I did when I ran in the special election last year. And so I was very encouraged, and I loved the process of being with people and debating and working on the problems. So my disappointment has always been that I would not be able to do the things I wanted to do for the people.
Yes, and you, that's why I know you, Carol. I know your heart. I know your philosophy. I know that you would go into any political job with a deep, deep understanding of why you were there and what you had to do with your conservative philosophy. And it would have been transformational for Nashville. But, you know, Abraham Lincoln didn't win till his third try. So there's always hope.
Well, my faith tells me that, you know, God is the one that chooses leaders. But I also know that had I been elected mayor of Nashville, there were so many problems that I would have spent, you know, the next 4 years buried in local problems, and I would not be able to speak into the national arena. And I think that part of what I'm called to do is hold politicians accountable, and in some cases, religious leaders. And that involves being available for wherever God wants to take you. I don't regret at all running for mayor. I learned a lot, but I don't think that was the destination that God had for me. Otherwise, it would have happened.
No, and you've seen, there was a senator by the name of Jim DeMint, who was a brilliant conservative senator who left the United States Senate to become an activist. It's not, sometimes there's another former congressman who is the president, or I'm sorry, the executive director of the Council for National Policy, very powerful organization. There the Congress, the Senate, elected office is not always the be-all and end-all of how effective one can be in living out their calling for the right values. So I'm more than thrilled to hear that you're back at the mic. I'm sure you're writing your book, We the People, is a tremendous primer for anybody that is interested or in becoming involved in our electoral process. Now, one thing that you just said has caught my attention, and that is Republicans were working with your Liberal Democrat opponent. What that indicates is that, well, let me put it this way. When we send someone to Washington, we know, surveys tell us that that member of Congress will vote with their party's platform an average of 82% of the time. Now, what does that tell us? That no matter what they say, they will go to Washington and vote with their party and their party's platform an average of 82% of the time. If there's any one thing that I would encourage Americans to do, especially in preparation for 2020, is get very familiar with what those two platforms say, because they are radically different visions for the future of this country. Radically different visions. Are we going to be a constitutional republic? Or is our constitutional republic going to fall to the whim of leftist judges? Are we going to be an economy of free enterprise? Or are we going to be an economy, a socialist economy? Are we going to be a sovereign nation? Or are we going to drift into globalism? Are we going to be a nation whose God is God, or whose God is government? Are we going to educate our children, or are we going to continue to indoctrinate our children? Are we going to be the real America, or are we going to be a transformed America? Now, when you read you don't have to read the whole platforms. There are many organizations out there, not many, but several organizations that are actually summarizing where the two parties stand on the major issues of our day.
We're going to take a brief break, and then I want you to talk about the party platforms, but also want to get into the 2020 elections more and what we can do for each other, for our nation, to preserve it for all the reasons you just stated. So we'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Be the People. Dr. Carol Swain is the mind behind Be the People News, radio, podcast, and YouTube. Be the People's mission is dedicated to empowering individuals to think independently, understand their responsibility, and believe in their unique ability to make a difference in the world. Check out Carol's work at BeThePeopleNews.com. To invite Carol to be your next keynote speaker, go to BeThePeopleNews.com. That's BeThePeopleNews.com.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with my guest, Nancy Schultz, and we're talking about America and what you, as the people, we the people, what we can do to ensure that our nation will be there as we know it for the generations to follow and also for ourselves because change is happening so rapidly. So Nancy, you were about to talk about the party platforms and where our listeners can get summaries.
Let me preface this by saying we went in the space of 20 years, we went from a Ronald Reagan to a Barack Obama. What that indicates to me, Carol, is that we have an electorate that doesn't really know what they believe. And when we have our, we now know as we look back, as we see the millennial generation coming up, we know that as of next year, 40% of the electorate will be millennial. And according to some of the Gallup and Pew and some of the polling companies, we know that 59%, almost 60% of millennials say they would be fine voting for a socialist. As a matter of fact, we know that millennials and below are more inclined to think highly of socialism than they do of free enterprise and capitalism. That is stunning, stunning information that somehow we've got to address. Now, I have a, my husband has a, we have a grandson who went on a survival trip to the Amazon with a group of individuals from the east and northeastern United States. He got a scholarship on this trip, but it was a very, very expensive proposition. Supported by, we didn't know this at the time, but they, as a matter of fact, Barack Obama's daughter was on the trip. Our grandson came back totally astonished that we did not believe in institutional racism. We didn't believe in global warming. We didn't believe, we were not on the social justice bandwagon. And we talked to our grandson for 2 hours and just had a come to Jesus meeting with our grandson, to be honest with you. But you know what, Carol? 6 months later, he came back to visit us and he said to each one of us individually in different conversations, I cannot thank you enough for spending the time and for conversing with me about these issues. I see now, Nana, I see, Granddad, that my generation has been lied to. My generation has had the wool pulled over our eyes. Thank you for talking to me about this.
Well,
and what I, that's one thing, Carol, that I would, I've talked to so many grandparents and parents that are reluctant to talk to the younger people because they want to be friends with them. They don't want to risk the relationship. Well, it's time. It's time, grandparents. It's time, parents, to start talking turkey to our younger generation and taking the risk. You know, Carol, when there are thousands of rows of little white American crosses in cemeteries throughout this world, and when we have our young over putting their lives on the line for the welfare and the freedom of others, the least we can do is risk taking a stand for the Constitution and the country they're dying for, or they're putting their lives on the line for.
Well, Nancy, I think part of the problem is that a lot of parents and grandparents don't feel comfortable. The young people have been brainwashed, and so they're going to throw out or regurgitate what they have been told, and so the adult backs down. But I do want to tell you that I did a recent podcast with a young man named Justin Haskins, and he's at the Heartland Institute. He's 31, and he's sort of dedicating his life to stopping socialism. So he actually goes around the college campuses and to organizations, and he talks about the dangers of socialism. And so there are some people that are awoke on this issue and that are young. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we do need to teach I think teach is the right word, because a lot of the older generation, they know that socialism and communism, that they're bad, but they actually don't know why. And so they're not prepared to engage in the conversation. So we have to give them the tools so that they feel informed when they're talking with young people.
Absolutely. And nobody can convince young people like their peers. There's Charlie Kirk with Turning Point USA, Candace Owens. There's the talk show host in Southern California that is so articulate. Anyway, there are sources out there, and we will, Carol, you know, Barack Obama, I refer to Barack Obama as the camouflage president, because his voting record was to the left of Bernie Sanders. Let me repeat that. His voting record in the Senate was to the left of Bernie Sanders.
I'm not shocked.
And Hillary Clinton voted 93% with Bernie Sanders. So the vitriol that is coming out against Donald Trump, you know what? I say this jokingly, but I'm serious. I don't care if it had been Donald Trump or Donald Duck. Whoever put the stop to the progress of socialism in this country would be under the kind of attack that Donald Trump is under. I don't care who, as a true conservative, won the 2016 election. They would be under this firing squad that Donald Trump has been under since before he took office.
Have you noticed, and you know, maybe I was not paying attention before, but you know the answer to this. I have watched the Democratic candidates, the spokespersons, the media, people, they all use the exact same language and concepts. And so are they actually sharing talking points, and are they that coordinated? Because I know as Republicans, we're individualists, we're not coordinated, but they all use the exact same language.
Yes, they are coordinated. Every Friday, they coordinate for the weekend talk shows, and you will hear exactly the same phraseology, the same words even. Flip the channel, you'll hear the same thing being said throughout the leftist press, the mainstream media. And you're right, Carol, we have, conservatives by nature, Republicans by nature, are self-starting, individualistic, entrepreneurial type individuals. And we don't move in herds. We're not lockstep. We don't, if you want to, the Democrats in Congress have an unwritten rule. Maybe it is written. I don't know. But you do not depart from where Nancy Pelosi wants to take the Democrat conference. You do not depart from that. We don't have those rules, or you will pay for it. You won't get the committee assignments you want. You'll never get a bill heard, blah, blah, blah. But on the right, we don't have those kinds of quote unquote rules. The strength of our conference, the strength of our efforts is, for instance, the Tea Parties, they were organic. They were not dictated to from the top down. They happened organically. And that's what, when you were talking about volunteers in your campaign, when you get a motivated, passionate volunteer, you have something that a paid staffer doesn't have. When our people go door to door, they're not being paid to do so. The left can't say that. Our people are going door to door because out of the passion of their hearts and there's and the conviction of their values. And we don't have the resources, nor I don't think do we want to pay people to go door to door. When a Republican volunteer is coming to your door, they're coming because of their beliefs and their dedication to their beliefs.
But do you know the problem? The problem is that it disadvantages Republicans that are trying to reach their minority community. They are so accustomed to being paid to work on campaigns, being paid to door knock. And the Democratic candidates, when I was running for mayor, they all hail fish fries in the Black community where they are out there, you know, serving fish sandwiches, which they don't eat. I didn't have resources to do that. Plus, I thought it was demeaning to the people that I'm going to feed them in exchange for their vote.
Yeah, but the Democrats are brilliant at building community, building relationships. We could take a hint on our side. We need to have more fun together. We need to become much more, we need to develop our relationships and community with our like-minded brothers and sisters in every ethnic group.
But I can tell you that it's going to cost money, that there were so many people, you know, in the Democrats, Black Democrats, that liked me. They liked my platform. They wanted to work with the campaign, but they also said they needed money. And I was not able, you know, to pay them. I didn't have the resources to do it. I think at the national level, maybe more people could be hired to coordinate within their communities. And maybe it would take a different approach. And, you know, maybe if I had more funds, I would have had a fish fry. I didn't have one, but I noticed that all the other candidates did, the Democrats did.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, why not a good old-fashioned potluck? You know, everybody bring a dish and let's just get together. And there's strength in numbers. There's strength in being able to talk to one another. One of the goals of the Russian intervention in our election was to fan and fuel the fires of discord, distrust, and division amongst Americans. That is a very strategized goal of the left, is to create as much discord and disharmony and division as possible. And we need to band together with folks that we know and cultivate the relationships. People love to get together, Carol, and we don't have to put together a catered event for people to get together. It used to be that we'd all bring something, and that's a much more Republican approach anyway.
I don't think it's a Democrat.
Contribute.
I don't think it's a Democrat approach. We need to take a break because we're running out of time. And so when I return, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in contact with you. So we'll be back in a moment.
Each week, the Be the People Show presents interviews with insightful guests from the world of politics, religion, media, and culture. The Be the People Show is on podcast. It offers bonus footage. To listen to Be the People online, go to the BeThePeopleNews.com website and subscribe to the Be the People podcast, heard also on the America Out Loud Network.
I'm back with my guest, Nancy Schultz, and we are talking politics, especially the 2020 election and what can be done. And Nancy, would you tell our listeners what you think they can do? And we are going to run out of time. And for people that would like to hear more of my conversation with Nancy, there is a podcast, and the podcast will run a little bit longer than this radio show. So you can go to BeThePeopleNews.com, BeThePeopleNews.com, or AmericaOutLoud.com to hear the rest of the conversation. So, Nancy.
Well, first of all, I'd like to give your listeners a source that they can go to research candidates and find out where they actually do. This is the deepest dive into the backgrounds and the voting records and the history of candidates that I know of in the country. And they're in all 50 states, as I understand it, but they're located out of Texas. But it's called iVoter Guide. And as I understand it, they really go into the actual statements and background. They go into research all the public records about a candidate. So you really get a detailed view more than any other that I know of. There's also a comparison of the Republican and Democratic platforms has been put out by Priests for Life. That's one source. Another is the FRC Action. That's the Family Research Council Action. That was founded years and years ago by James Dobson. They have a party platform comparison that it would be very, very important for people to become familiar with. There are very few people that I know that have actually determined what political party they belong to by actually reading the platforms of the parties. But what has happened now is that the Democrat, as we all can see, the Democrat Party has lurched so far to the left. It is critically important for people to understand who and what they're voting for and why. The days of voting because my granddaddy and my mammy and my father and are over. We've got two radically different visions for the future of the country in our two political parties. And we need to become familiar with just voting because you always voted Democrat or Republican. Those days are over. We really need to know what's happened.
For those of you who want to hear more of my conversation with Nancy, you can go to the podcast and hear more of this conversation. And Nancy, thank you so much for being on the Be the People show.
Well, thank you, Carol, for your Be the People show. We need more of you, Carol.
And for the rest of you out there, this is an important conversation about the 2020 election. And there's so much more that we have to do to equip ourselves to be informed and to deal with all the issues that are affecting the nation at this point in time. And it truly matters. We talked about the 2016 election and how important it was for the future of our nation. Well, 2020 is even more important because the nation is headed so far away from its Judeo-Christian foundations. And so it's really up to us to be the people who change our nation and change our world. You're listening to the Be the People podcast. Nancy Schultz has been my guest. And I'd like to ask Nancy to just continue the conversation that we were having earlier about what we can do to ensure strong Republican victories in 2020. Nancy, you were talking about the platforms that people needed to get information. You gave out some sources. Could you briefly just repeat those sources where people can go, just give the names of the organizations and then anything else you think would be helpful.
Okay, for people that may not have heard the front of this broadcast, the point that I was making is that when we send a representative to Washington, that elected official will vote with his or her party platform an average of 82% of the time, no matter what they say on the ground in their districts or in their states. When they get to Washington, the research tells us that they will vote with their party's platform an average of 82% of the time. What that tells us is that we really, at this juncture, especially when the socialists that are running for office are now out of the closet, so to speak, we really need to look at the party platforms and what they stand for.
So what's the best way to do that?
One source that I just happens to be in my hand right now is the FRC Action website, frcaction.org. They have a party platform comparison on things, on the major issues. Another comparison of the Republican and Democrat platforms, which is nonpartisan, is the Priests for Life have one. And the iVoter Guide, I believe, Priests for Life, frcaction.org, or the iVoter Guide is an incredibly rich resource for researching. The days of voting just to vote are over. There's only one thing worse, Carol, than not voting, and that's voting without knowing who and what you're voting for and why.
But you know something, not voting is a huge problem. Only 22% of the eligible voters turned out to vote in the mayoral election for the runoff, 22%. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we know that Christians and conservatives, a lot of conservatives, they don't necessarily make it to the polls. And there are far few people are volunteering. You look at the Democrats, they have an army. For some reason, we don't have the army out there all the time.
Well, they've poured a lot into organizing. Let's not forget what Barack Obama did before he became president, or became a senator and then president. He was a community organizer. We need to organize. And I don't care if that means having a backyard barbecue or what, we need to start getting together and doing our civic duty. You know, Carol, I understand that this is a Christian broadcast. God established three institutions, the family, the church, and government. And for us to abdicate our responsibility to contribute and to be a part of our government is every bit as serious as not being involved and contributing to our churches or our families. And it's critically important that we live up to our responsibility. This is the only country on earth that was founded and grounded on principles that were born out of Scripture. We as believers need to take that seriously and realize that the attacks against our faith are strategized, they are financed, they are organized. We need to educate ourselves. First of all, educate ourselves, and then educate our progeny.
We have to educate ourselves, but we also have to remember that God judges nations, and we are going to be held accountable for those leaders we help elect or allow to get elected because we didn't do our part.
Well, to not vote is to vote. You know, you're giving your vote to a very small percentage of individuals. And it's good. It's good. I don't know about you, Carol, but when I walk into that voting booth, I get a sense of accomplishment.
Yes,
when I pull the lever, you know?
Yes.
Huh?
You get your little sticker, your badge for the day. I voted.
Right. It's the least we can do, but it's also the most we can, well, no, the most we can do is to pray and to connect with the one who created us and the one who knows what is best for us. That's the most important thing we can do for our country and for our own, in our own lives.
I agree. And Nancy, thank you so much for giving us your time. Your insights are very, very valuable. And I hope a lot of people will listen to the radio show as well as the podcast and will not just listen, but they will begin to apply some of the things that we talked about today.
Thank you, Carol.
And so for those of you who have stuck with this podcast, thank you so much. And go out and be the people who change our nation and be the people who help the Republicans retain control of the Congress and the White House in 2020. We cannot continue to let this nation go into decline. Thank you.